Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Greece for an update on the just-concluded elections that may decide whether or not Greece stays in the Eurozone. Irene Espathiou, a Greek-American artist, joins us from the election from an elections results party of mostly young Syriza voters in Athens. And also joining us is a former U.S. Foreign Service officer, John Brady Keesling, who also lives in Greece. Then George Lakoff and Elizabeth Veeling join us to discuss their new book, The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic, which is intended to address the imbalance in America where conservatives successfully frame arguments while liberals argue amongst themselves without agreeing on a narrative. Lakoff and Veeling's new book shows Democrats how to fight back on moral grounds and in concrete terms. Then finally, with the Oregon Supreme Court's recent approval of the release of the so-called perversion files that the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church have been sued to make public, we will speak with an award-winning journalist of a series titled Scouts Honor, Peter Zuckerman, who has come under attack from the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church for his reporting in the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post-Register, joins us. And just before we begin, I'd like to invite you all to a forum, the UCLA Hammer Forum, that I'm hosting this coming Thursday, June the 21st at 7:30, The Future of Healthcare. We'll have Pulitzer Prize winning Professor of Sociology and Public Affairs at Princeton University, Paul Starr. He was a senior advisor to the Clinton Health Plan, and we should know at any moment whether or not the Supreme Court is going to strike down so-called Obamacare. Joining us now from Greece is John Brady Keesling, who worked for 20 years in the Foreign Service of the United States State Department. He resigned publicly from the U.S. Embassy in Athens to protest the damage done to U.S. interests and alliances by the George W. Bush administration's foreign policy, particularly the war in Iraq, and has remained in Greece since then. Mr. Keesling's latest book is Diplomacy's Lessons, Realism for an Unloved Superpower. And also joining us is Irene Espasiou, who is a Greek-American artist living in Athens, who is at an election results party with mostly young Syriza voters. Welcome to Background Briefing, Irene Espasiou.
Hello.
So let me begin with you, Irene. It looks as though the vote count from Athens is not in yet. And at this point, New Democracy seems to be a little bit ahead of Syriza. What's your sense of, since you're surrounded by mostly Syriza voters, and I take it, who did you vote for?
I voted for Syriza.
So you voted for Syriza. So what's the mood in the room, and what are you seeing on television as the results come in?
Well, we're all waiting for the final results. But we're prepared for either eventuality. But the mood is really positive, regardless. I mean, it's a historic day for the Greek left, I think, regardless of whether they come in first or second.
Well, there's another possibility, though, a hung parliament, isn't there? Would that be the worst of all possibilities?
Well, I think because of the what they call voter fatigue, it would be a problem.
So when you say it's an historic day for the Greek left, whether or not Syriza wins, what do you mean by that?
Well, in the last general election, not in May, the previous one, you know, they had 4% of the vote, and now they're poised to have between 25 and 28.4, whatever the exit poll says. That's a huge leap.
Well, let me ask Brady Keesling, there is some difference, isn't there, between PASOK and New Democracy winning and Syriza winning. There's considerable difference, right? Syriza's threatened not to honor the bailouts. Greece could be forced out of the euro, and the drachma would have to be reintroduced, and that would lead to devaluation, inflation, and business anxiety, shall we say. On the other hand, it may also allow the economy to grow. So walk us through what's at stake here in this election.
Fundamentally, And it looks as if New Democracy is probably going to pull it out from the latest estimates and get the 50-seat bonus for the largest party. But the fundamental difference is that New Democracy and its governing ally, which will almost certainly be PSOK, have a relationship with Brussels, have a relationship with the European Central Bank. Basically, they are the politicians that made Greece's commitments. If they form the government, they will have an easier time going to Europe and saying, you saw what these election results were, you've seen what's happened in the past months, there is no way that we can legitimize a continuation of the rigid austerity that we've had now. You have to give us some breathing room. Whereas with Syriza, because there is Syriza's leader, Alexis Tsipras, had taken this very sort of bold, almost arrogant stance, we are in a suicide pact with Europe. They cannot tell us what to do because we will collapse and take Europe with us. Therefore, Europe has to be nice to us and sort of start from square one. That attitude, Europe has very little patience for that attitude, and it would be a highly risky gambit to introduce at this stage. So it looks as if the mood of the voters is for a conservative, play it safe, hope to muddle through with a slightly better deal than we've got now.
And again, Irini Aspasiou, who's a Greek-American artist living in Athens, who is at an election results party with mostly young Syriza voters, she voted Syriza. The New Democracy, of course, have been arguing that a vote for Syriza is a vote for emotion and not for reason. Has that kind of scare tactic worked? I mean, did you vote with your head or your heart?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think that the policies that New Democracy signed into law and voted into law and committed to are the unreasonable policies. So
So you don't feel that you voted with your heart, you voted with your head?
On all levels. I mean, it was for sure an emotional vote. You know, to believe in something involves, and to hope for something involves an emotional decision. But it was also through careful, following of their proposals, reading of their proposals, which I find reasonable. And as well as looking at what parties like New Democracy and PASOK have done in the past. I mean, we have the example of the policy that they're going to implement practice.
Well, I mean, it seems to me, Irini Aspasiou, that if you and the young voters with you at this election results party, if you all voted for Syriza, it's your future, right? I mean, if there's this sense that you're jumping off a cliff, it doesn't sound like any of you feel like you're jumping off a cliff. Maybe you feel that there's a better opportunity to get rid of the...
Absolutely. I won't speak for everybody, but I feel like New Democracy pushed us off the cliff before we even, walked up the mountain.
So
a government for us, it's a government for a privileged few.
And could you envision a Greece leaving the Eurozone, going back to the drachma, et cetera, with all those, the sky is falling scenarios associated with that?
Well, I mean, I actually believe Syriza that that New Democracy's the policy that New Democracy would implement if they are the government, lead us out of the euro just as fast as anything that they're saying. I mean, the numbers don't seem to work.
Well, let me ask.
In other words, what happens when you've just bled your population dry? Is my question. And then the real question that I asked myself before the elections was, if the world financial system is so shocked, this was after the last election, was so shocked by 17% of the vote going to Syriza in the last election and mobilized, you know, its entire media mechanism to try to scare Greek voters into New Democracy. Is that a problem with Greek voters' choice, or is it a problem with the way the world financial system functions?
Well, the world's financial system, the bondholders don't get punished. The lenders don't get punished.
Right.
But Greek people do. That seems to be the...
We're paying the bill in the end. And we don't want to pay the bill for corruption, for unfair taxation, you know.
Well, let me ask Brady Keesling then about, put this into a broader context, because not only is Greece in trouble, so is Spain and Italy. And it seems to me quite ironic. Greece was in the post-war era, there was a civil war in Greece and Truman intervened to stop the communist takeover. And that was the beginning of the formation of the CIA and the beginning of a U.S. And the Marshall Plan and a U.S. strategy to bring social democracy to Germany, Italy, Greece, and other countries. Of course, Spain was under the fascists, and also to Japan. And it's always struck me as an irony that these countries got social democracy, but the United States didn't. We still don't have health care, and any day now the Supreme Court might strike it down. But now it seems that the social democracies in all these countries, the social contract is up for grabs and basically being systematically eviscerated.
Well, the social contract can only be afforded if you are quite efficient and thoughtful and far-seeing about how you do it. And everyone agrees that successive Greek governments wasted the money they were given, made promises they could not keep, diverted resources out of investments that would increase the overall wealth of the country and put them in the pockets of their friends. And so now the whole people of Greece is paying for that. Everyone agrees with that, even New Democracy, even PASOK. Now the issue is, how do you build a political consensus for a realistic policy, which means keeping some kind of working relationship with the people who have money in Europe, not frightening them too much, getting a better deal that's politically realistic in Greece, but also is politically realistic in Germany, where Angela Merkel is fighting for her political life, and a lot of her population would love to throw someone into the volcano. And if it's a small country like Greece, that's much better than a large country like Italy.
So let me ask you, Rini Aspasiou, who is a Greek-American artist living in Athens, and she's at an election results party with mostly young Syriza voters, and she voted for Syriza. Unemployment amongst the young in Greece is I think, reaching 50%. It's also true in Spain that unemployment amongst the young is around 50%. It strikes me as something of an irony that nobody sees this in the logical context, which is that the future in these countries is being mortgaged because of the past.
I totally agree, and I think everybody here thinks that this country, it has to change. You know, we can't be ruled by corrupt dynasties anymore. And New Democracy is one of these corrupt dynasties. So we want to dream, we want to hope, we want to work, we want social justice and sort of harmony.
But you also want to be able to have a future, and it seems so ironic that the young should be punished for the sins of their parents.
Right. Well, we don't feel like, I think a lot of people don't feel like it's their debt. You know, we're paying off this corrupt, all the resources of the country are going towards paying off this corrupt debt that isn't ours, that we haven't benefited from at all. So when, you know, when Fagundes, our leader, said we all partied, you know, the equivalent of we all partied, we didn't party, you know.
And what is the slogan that you have for Syriza that you mentioned earlier when I spoke with you before we went on the air?
Oh, that was what you say when you vote with conviction. You say it with teeth. You vote Zagoto with teeth.
So you're voting with conviction. That became the motto to overcome the scare tactics to say that if you voted for Syriza.
Well, I mean, it was all about hope for the future, the campaign of Syriza. And I think that was something that people really needed to hear. And actually, I've noticed that the crisis has polarized society on the one hand, but it's also created this sense of solidarity, you know, between the people who feel like they are future and their rights are being trampled. So that's across the age groups. And to go, you know, Alexis Tsipras may be an unknown to the people in Brussels, but he made an election promise, pre-election promise, that he was going to go and fight for the dignity of all of the Greek people. You know, he was going to go and actually negotiate. So we've seen how the leaders of PASOK and Nea Dimokratia go to negotiate. They say yes in advance. And so that doesn't seem like much of a negotiation, to have said yes to everything in advance.
Well, let me just close now with John Brady Keesling, former U.S. diplomat who lives in Greece and the author of Diplomacy's Lessons, Realism for an Unloved Superpower. What are the latest results and how do you think this election is going to – I mean, the worst possibility would be a hung parliament, although under the rules, apparently, whoever wins, no matter how close it is, they get 50 extra seats. So – What do you think is going to happen here?
It looks to me at this stage as if New Democracy is going to have about 29% of the votes, and the Conservatives, that will give them somewhere around 130-something seats, with the 10% that PASOK is going to get, the former ruling party, the Social Democratic Party. That's enough to form a governing coalition. Syriza looks to be getting about 27-28%, so it'll have a good chunk of seats. It'll be the leading opposition. Then there's a one-party Democratic Left, which, if it joins a coalition government, it adds some respectability and solidity to it, which would be useful. My guess is that it's not going to want to join the PASOK New Democracy coalition without some tacit support from Syriza, which it's not going to get. So Syriza is going to go into opposition, I think, expecting that PASOK or that New Democracy and PASOK will have a miserable time over the next few months. I mean, Syriza made a bunch of promises there was no way it could keep. But it's not going to have to keep those promises. New Democracy is going to try to keep its promises. It's not going to succeed very well. And so Syriza is hoping that in December it will be such a shambles that they'll be asked to govern the country. Right, I think that's probably the scenario from their point of view. The smaller parties have mostly done quite badly this time.
Sure.
They lost to the two big parties.
Well, I think I think we've got a pretty good picture here of what's likely to be the outcome. And of course, you just mentioned the possibility of yet another round, which is certainly a rather grim possibility. I thank both of you for joining us here from Greece, John Brady Kiesling and Irina Espasiou.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Irina, as well. And I was just speaking then with John Brady Kiesling, a U.S. diplomat who broke with the Bush administration and resigned publicly from the U.S. Embassy in Athens. He's the author of Diplomacy's Lessons, Realism for an Unloved Superpower. He lives in Greece. And also joining us was Irina Espasiou, who's a Greek-American artist living in Athens. She was at an election results party with mostly young Syriza voters. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with the co-authors of The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic.
Στα μάτια των αρχαίων των εχθρών μας βλέπω σκοτάδια και πέφτουν τα παιδιά μας. Δεν βρίσκω άκρη τρόπο ή ελπίδα, όμως στα χέρια την τύχη μου κρατώ.